Welcome to Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered. You know, sometimes I talk about something on this show and there's like, oh, that's a heartwarming follow-up to the story and I want to share with you. So today is one of those days. We talked about a story and I saw a follow-up and I was like, just really warms the heart. And I thought that you should know. If you recall that insufferable Venezuelan illegal who went viral on TikTok for encouraging other illegals to, you know, just come to our country and seize our homes by taking advantage of squatters, the squatters' rights, which is just so embarrassing that here in America, that's a thing. Like, the term squatters' rights is actually a thing that is used unironically, is just absolutely stupid to me. Okay. But for those who missed this Venezuelan illegal who had the audacity to go online and brag about this, here's that gem.
Mi gente,
he's saying, my people, I have thought about invading a home in the United States.
Ya que me enteré.
Now that I became aware of a law that exists that if a house is not occupied, we can take over it.
Podemos expropiarla. Capichi, muchachos.
Guys, the law of taking over land applies here in the United States. And I think that will be my next business. Invade houses that are abandoned now that I have found some information.
Ya que me he buscado unos códigos con mis amigos africanos.
Like my African friends, they told me that they confiscated seven homes. As the saying goes, daddy, you got to find the way around. And the way around it right now is invading homes. Now that we are homeless, and it's the only way we have not to live in the streets and not be a public charge. Oh, he's doing it for us, I guess. That's why he's doing it. The law says that the house is abandoned, deteriorated, and in poor condition. We can come and repair it, live in it, and if we can, sell it, even request credit with it. What do you think about that? Wow, that's great. So here's the thing. Turns out Lino Moreno, which is the guy's name, has been on the run from ICE since he illegally crossed the border at Eagle Pass in April of 2022 and didn't show up for his court date. Hold on. I have to do that and I have to pretend to be shocked that he crossed the border at Eagle Pass in April of 2022 and didn't show up for his court date. What? You mean that's a thing that they do? They're gaming the system by coming into our country and getting handed a pass and then not showing up for their court? Oh my God, that happens? I had no idea. So ICE had totally lost track of him, but because his dumbass posted so many videos online, mostly bragging about taking advantage of American taxpayers and receiving our money through government welfare, well, ICE has now been able to track him to the Columbus, Ohio area. But that's not even the heartwarming update. I mean, that's a start to heartwarming. But wait, there's more. Because TikTok doesn't allow criminal activity to be promoted on their app, they deleted his whole account. And he is taking it, I would say, very personally. He created a new account where he can be seen like blubbering like a baby and blowing snot bubbles, crying about how people are out to get him or something. Watch.
Estoy en peligro
de muerte. I am in danger of death in the U.S. I need protection.
Necesito protección.
I'm being persecuted in the United States.
Me están persiguiendo.
They're chasing me.
Me han bloqueado mi cuenta.
My account has been banned on TikTok. There are open arrests in New York for me. And I'm not in New York. Oh, no. I need you to pay attention to what's happening. Because my family is in danger. Oh,
corre
no.
Mucho peligro,
you are in great
muchacho.
Danger, boy. He's holding a baby.
Me borraron la cuenta de TikTok, la otra también.
Delete me from the text door, the other one too. I don't know what that means.
Recibido mucha amenaza de gente
I have received
poderosa,
many
muchacho.
Threats from powerful people. Someone get him a Kleenex.
Muchacho, ayuda, por
please
favor.
Help.
Mi familia está
my
en
family
peligro.
Is in danger.
Muchacho, por favor, ayúdenme.
Please help me. Oh.
Es increíble, muchacho,
it's
pero
incredibly
sí.
Scary, but there are people looking for me and where I stay.
Buscándome.
Yes, because you're a criminal. And for me and my family. Oh.
Ayúdenme, por favor.
Please help me. You would think with all of the taxpayer money that he's taking and bragging about on social media, he could, I don't know, afford some Kleenex and wipe his nose. You know, he's, oh my God, I'm so scared. I need help. There's a solution. If you think you're in danger here in America, sir, go home. Go home. Leave. Go away. Go back to your whole home. Okay? Take the two legs that God gave you and walk right on across that border that you came from. And by the way, I don't even care if you go home. You don't need to go all the way home. Stay in Mexico for all I care. I don't care. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. You're not allowed to call it a whole country. Well, you know what? It seems to me like they think it is too because they're coming here to make our country the next one. But we're not allowed to say that. Oh, no, that's mean. No, you can't say they came from a bad place. You can't call them criminals. No, not only can you not call them criminals, you got to let the criminals stay. Here in America, at least according to Joe Biden, this is a real thing. He is now reportedly considering amnesty to illegals by doling out green cards to illegal immigrants who have been here for more than 10 years. They say, especially if they have relatives here who would suffer if that person were deported. Just like, does this sound familiar? It's just like Obama did with DACA, where if you're a student, you get to stay. If you're a child, if you're a minor, you get to stay. Well, Obama 2.0 has to add on to that progress that they made the first time around. Remember all that Obama, when he was campaigning, he was like, oh, it's hope and change. And it was like, that was not the change that we needed. That was not the change that we wanted, but change we did get. And DACA was one of those. Because this is the plan. This has always been the plan. This will continue to be the plan unless we vote these people out en masse. And that starts in November at the top. It is not a coincidence. They are encouraging illegals to flood the borders and overwhelm the system. It's not a coincidence that because the system is overwhelmed, they're being handed a piece of paper by Border Patrol that makes them promise to return to the court in the year, like, I don't know, 2032. Which, by the way, it's not a coincidence that if they even bother showing up for their hearing, which oftentimes they don't, just like that man you saw blubbering like a little baby about being scared because he's wanted for arrest in New York. Most of the time, they don't even show up. They're like that guy. They just are like, oops, I lost track of time. I forgot that you wanted me to show up in the year 2032. And I just, oopsies, I forgot. So it's not a coincidence that if they even bother showing up for their hearing, well, it's now 2032. Right now, today, it's the year 2024, okay? 2025, 2026, 2027, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. Oh, they've already been here 8 years. Wow. You see how that works? But Judge, I've already been here 5 years, 10 years. I have a family. I have a home. I mean, maybe because they're illegally squatting in it and taking advantage of Americans, but damn it, they have a home. I live here. My whole life is here. I have friends here. You can't kick me out. I can't leave. This is my home. So now, what does that mean? It's the endless cycle. What does that mean? That means that all of these people that are coming here right now, in 5 years, 10 years, that's the plan. You give them permanent residency because doing anything else would be mean. You don't want to be mean. It's also, by the way, not a coincidence that doing so is going to lead to a change in the electorate. It's going to, guys, I feel like a broken record, but it's something that has to be screamed from the rooftops every day until it is changed. The census will come out. The census, because remember, illegal immigrants are counted in the census. The census will come out. The census will change the electorate. The census will give all these blue areas that are taking in all of these people, all these sanctuary cities, they will give all of those areas more representatives in Congress. You don't even have to change all of this. You don't have to game the system by giving them the ability to vote. Now, that is coming around the corner. That is coming down the line. That is why there are places like D.C. and Vermont and San Francisco, places that are already allowing non-citizens to vote in local elections. Like, that is coming down the pike. But they don't even have to do that in order to game the system. It's just done through the census. That's it. That's all they have to do. I know. The great replacement theory, that's a far right white nationalist conspiracy theory, Sarah, is it? You don't even have to say the word theory when you say, just drop the theory. You are being replaced. It is the great replacement, period. It's not a theory. It is just happening right now. You know, they claim that there are now 13 points. I kid you not. I saw this. I think it was the Washington Times. The headline was, there are now 13.7 illegal immigrants in the country, which is a 37% increase under Joe Biden. That is a joke. That is a joke. We were told that there were like 11 million illegal immigrants decades ago, before any of this even happened. Joe Biden has more than likely doubled that number just in 3.5 years. Not even 3.5 years. And by the way, they're now flying people in and processing them through airports so the border doesn't look as chaotic. Look, we only have 5,000 crossings per day. Look, the border has slowed down. We only have 5,000 crossings per day. Well, don't pay attention to the flights. Don't pay attention to all these people that we are literally flying in to process them into the country. They don't count. But you know what? They will count. They will count. In 10 years from now, when we want to give them green cards for permanent residency, they will count then. Just so you know. A country cannot sustain this. A country will not sustain this. And to see these people mocking us, posting TikTok videos, bragging about coming here and leeching off our system while they're getting paid with our money, using phones, by the way, that we paid for, knowing that if they just do the wrong thing, imagine this, if you just do the wrong thing many, many times, you do the wrong thing by coming here illegally. You do the wrong thing by staying here. You do the wrong thing by mooching off of us, by taking advantage of our system, by squatting in people's houses who actually paid for the house. You do the wrong thing by setting up shop here where you do not legally have the right to do. At the end of all of that, you're going to be rewarded with permanent residency. Imagine teaching your children, just do the wrong thing. Just do the wrong thing over and over and over again, son. And at the end of the day, you will be rewarded for your bad behavior. But that's somehow what we are teaching illegal immigrants. Do the wrong thing, and at the end of the day, you will be handsomely rewarded with permanent residency. Because, of course, it's all part of the master plan. I'm sorry. You're right. I'm not allowed to say that. That's a conspiracy theory. That's not happening. No, it's happening. It's happening every day. And I'm tired of people pretending like it's either it's not, or we're not allowed to say this is not a theory. It's just happening. All right. When we come back, I want to bring in a couple of guests to talk about, you know, every day we are hearing from more pushes for gun control. We've got this federal red flag center now. And I want to talk to these guests about the path forward when it comes to the Second Amendment when we return. So White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre was asked yesterday about the death of the 31-year-old New York Police Department officer who was shot and killed by a career criminal. And I do mean a career criminal. And she, of course, used her answer to push for more gun control. She said, "This shooting is yet another painful reminder of the toll of gun violence. Obviously, more work needs to be done. We need Congress to continue to act on making sure that our communities are safe. And again, our hearts go out to this family, this officer and his family. It is a difficult time for them." Now, I said career criminal. I just want to make sure it's clear. Like, this guy had 21 prior arrests. He was released from prison in 2021 after serving 5 years of criminal possession of a controlled substance. He served 4 years in prison for first degree of assault. I mean, these are bad people who continue to be let out onto our streets. So you have Joe Biden continuing to push for more gun control at the same time that the courts are letting out these violent criminals and, by the way, ruling that illegal immigrants are allowed to have firearms. So they can, I guess, but not you. We've now seen the development of this federal red flag center with the Department of Justice's National Extreme Risk Protection Order. And I just, it's like everywhere we turn, there is another method that the Biden regime seems to be using for gun control. And I want to bring on two guests to talk about this push for gun control and this push for federal red flag laws. I want to welcome to the program both Ryan Petty and Andrew Pollack, who are two fathers who unfortunately lost their daughters in the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas school shooting. And I would say, gentlemen, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I would say didn't ever think that you guys would be dedicating your lives now to having these conversations and trying to make sure that you fight for school security and for actual laws that make sense. And unfortunately have found yourselves in the position where now that's what your life is. So I want to welcome you guys to the program. And I want to get your take on, let's talk first about this now federalized red flag system. Andrew, I'm gonna go to you first. What are your thoughts?
Sure. First, I just want to touch on you because it hit a nerve. In New York City, you mentioned career criminal, where he was, you said he was arrested with 21 times in New York?
Yeah, 21 prior arrests.
So very similar situation in Parkland. The sheriff's department was out for my daughter's murderer's house over 40 times and never arrested for very similar policies, these leniency policies of not holding people accountable and letting criminals out on the street. Red flag gun laws only work if they're enforced. Right. You know, if these people commit crimes and nothing ever gets put on their background, it'll never show up when they go to purchase a rifle. A lot of people don't know the shooter in my daughter's and Ryan, who killed our daughters. He trespassed at the school a year prior when he wasn't a student. Now take it, his nickname at the school was Crazy Boy. So they let Crazy Boy go and do a test run at the school, wasn't held accountable, and then let go back out on the street to come back another time. The next time he came back, he brought his rifle bag and murdered our beautiful, precious daughters. So there are laws in place. We don't need any laws, any more laws. We need to enforce the laws that are on the books right now. Arrest criminals, right? Put them in jail, hold them accountable where they learn a lesson, and don't put them back on the street to hurt innocent children out of school. A police officer in New York. I could go on and on again of how many criminals are let back out on the street. And about red flag laws, I don't believe the only time red flag laws work, it's hard to say, is when there's due process involved. You know, you can't trust the police just to take someone's, an innocent civilian's weapons away. There needs to be a process in place where it goes through the system. You know, you can't just get someone getting divorced and say, she's in fear for her life, I need you to take away my husband's weapons, or a neighbor who's having a dispute with a neighbor, and next thing you know, they're calling the police on him and they're taking his weapons away without any due process. So I just want to touch on a couple of those things and how it was very it's very similar how that criminal in New York was let out. Yep. Our daughter's murderer was never held accountable or arrested. And these Democrats, with they're so simple-minded, they can't look at anything in the facts or in the past. The only thing they have to say is they spew this gun control BS, which really kills me and Ryan, because we dissected the shooting. We know what happened there. We've made changes in Florida. And when you don't look at the failures, changes don't happen. But it's easy for these Democrats. They'll just say, let's have more gun control.
Yeah. To Andrew's point, Ryan, you do seem to, it's like with all of these, or overwhelmingly the majority of these mass shootings, whether it be at school or somewhere else, it's like, well, this person was on someone's radar, this, whether it be FBI, federal, or, you know, local law enforcement. You always seem to hear that they were already on the radar. So sounds like they're not actually connecting the dots here all the way, or they don't want to. So what good are more laws?
Sarah, you've hit the nail on the head. The story of Parkland is a story of government failure, mm-hmm. government agencies not connecting the dots. To add to what Andrew said, the killer of our daughters attacked another student the first time when he was in kindergarten. So he had a history of violence in schools. They were searching his backpack. They were frisking him when he would go to middle school. So he was a well-known threat to that school. But the school never communicated that to the sheriff's office. The sheriff's office never communicated to the school that they were going, that they had been to that home 42 times. And in fact, to Andrew's point, there were a couple of very clear felonies committed by the killer in our case, which would have deprived him of the ability to buy a firearm had he been convicted, had he been charged and convicted. So to your point, Sarah, these, you know, background checks, red flag law, whatever solution the Democrats try to come up with to solve these problems, they only work if government's competent and doesn't fail. In the case, you know, you look at what happened in Maine, right, with this shooter. They were aware that he was going to attack. And he had attacked a fellow soldier on base, and no charges were filed. So, you know, when you couple government incompetence and the leniency policies that we're talking about, where we don't take criminal behavior seriously and we don't put these people in jail, put them behind bars and punish them, this is what happens. And for Democrats, the solution to all of this is always punish law-abiding gun owners. It's ridiculous. It makes no sense.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to watch, because anytime something like this happens, and I'm going to try my best, gentlemen, to not get emotional here, because I cannot even imagine what you guys have gone through. But, you know, you talk to the left anytime something like this happens, and they say, you know, a school shooting, and they say, well, we have to act now. And they seem to want to use your pain and your tragedy to take, you know, guns out of the hands of law-abiding citizens. And they always say, imagine if you were one of those parents. Something must be done. Imagine if you were one of those parents. And, you know, they try to use this emotion to get at you, so that I feel like I'm doing something wrong if I say you can't use this tragedy to push for gun control at this particular point in time. And I just think that your voices are just so, so important to this conversation, because we are so often told we don't have a seat at the table. We're not allowed to talk about it because we don't know what it feels like. And I hope I never do. I can't even imagine what you guys live with, having been through that. But the way that you have been able to use this for good, I know you both have been instrumental in Florida in passing laws that actually will work, I just think is so beautiful. And I want you to tell, because I don't want to just talk about what the left is doing wrong without talking about solutions. So what can the rest of the states here in the nation learn from what has been done in Florida? Andrew, I'll go back to you. And Ryan, I want you to also chime in when Andrew's done.
Sure. You know, I was never political before any of this happened. But once we learned what happened, and Ryan and I, and how we dissected it, I really despise Democrats. There's no secret. You know, I keep them away from me like Superman keeps kryptonite away from him. That's how I feel about them in a nutshell. But I'm going to tell you what happened in Florida, because Ryan and I were a big part of it. We had great leadership in Florida. We had Republicans in. I wasn't political, but Rick Scott, who was governor at the time, reached out to Ryan and myself, and he formed a commission, okay, which Ryan's still on, the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Safety Commission. And Rick, he put fathers on it, he put lawyers on it, he put sheriffs on it. And what they did was they went all the way back to the shooters when he was an infant, and they dissected his life all the way up to the shooting, so they could look and make real changes in Florida. You know, we have police now in every school in Florida, one per 500 in each school. We have more money for mental health care. We have money for hardening of the schools. We have police that could, teachers or veterans that could go through programs now and be armed at the schools to protect our kids. So Rick Scott didn't just say, oh, like a Democrat, you know, that's the easy. We need to ban guns. No, Rick actually took the lead. He was disgusted. He's sick to this day. You know, he still keeps in touch with Ryan and myself, and he made changes. And the same thing with Ron DeSantis. Then me and Ryan, we knew that we had to get behind Ron DeSantis if we wanted to make changes in Florida. And that's exactly what we did. Ron promised Ryan and myself that he was going to hold all these failed officials accountable. And what did Ron do the first month he was in office? He removed that failed sheriff, that Sheriff Israel that was in Broward, who failed our children, failed the department, failed the community, everything. Ron removed him. He put a grand jury investigation into the Broward County School District, where four school board members were removed, holding them accountable. The superintendent who brought all these failed liberal democratic policies to Broward that helped, that enabled this shooter to become what he was and get our daughters murdered, he was arrested on felony perjury charges. Then the lawyer was arrested. So because of Republicans, you know, they really went to town and cleaned house. We held everyone accountable in Broward, and we made changes. Ryan is doing an amazing job. He's on the school board of the state of Florida, right? Florida has parent choice now. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Parents are moving to Florida just so they can pick their school and send their children to private schools. So we made so many changes in Florida. And I'll let Ryan tell you, because Ryan's on the pulse of what's going on with the Board of Education and how ahead of the game of Florida is, because of looking into the past and great leaders like Rick Scott and Ron DeSantis.
Yeah, Ryan, tell us about it.
Well, what we, you know, Andrew's absolutely right. So what we did, you know, look, Andrew and I were going through the pain and emotion. And, you know, there's always this sense of, to your point, Sarah, that we have to act now, right? That's what they tell us. The gun control groups descended on Parkland. They joined forces with some of the kids, some of the very leftist kind of kids, and they created this whole idea that we had to do something right now, and it was all about banning guns, right? And we said, wait a minute, let's understand what happened. And to Andrew's point, I'm grateful that we had strong leaders like Rick Scott in as governor who said, okay, hang on, let's make sure we understand what happened here. What I learned, Sarah, is that these are preventable tragedies. And it requires these government agencies to communicate with each other when they understand there's a threat. 90% of these school attackers communicate their plans and their intentions to somebody else. And if we capture that information and do something about it, we can prevent these things. To Andy's point, what we've done in Florida, we've implemented a what we call behavioral threat management as part of the Florida blueprint to protect schools. And that means we're gathering tips and we're acting on those tips now. It's a felony in Florida to make a threat against a school. And those threats and those tips are investigated until we understand whether or not that person really intends to attack a school and has the means to do it. That's one thing. Andy mentioned armed presence on our school campuses. We don't have gun-free zones in our schools in the state of Florida now. We have lots of guns on our campuses at school, and an attacker doesn't know who might be armed on that school campus. So when they come to attack a school in Florida, they're going to be met quickly with lethal force. And so that's a deterrent that keeps the crazies like our killer off the school campuses. So anyway, the point is there's multiple things you need to do to protect a school. And we took the time to investigate it and understand it. While everybody was out yelling about gun control and trying to penalize law-abiding gun owners, the state of Florida said, what happened? What can we do about it? How can we improve the safety of our schools? And let's do those things. And I'm really, really proud of what Florida has done. It's really a blueprint for the other states. And I hope that they'll take the lessons from Parkland. The tragedy is so painful that I miss Elena every day. And if there's anything I could ask is that people take a look at what we did in Parkland, what we did to solve this problem, and implement it in your schools, in your state. Demand that your schools take your child's safety seriously.
Yeah. I appreciate you guys so much. I appreciate what you're doing, not just in Florida, but, you know, reaching out to the rest of the country. And look, I know they often say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, if it is broke, let's fix it first before we add on additional measures for people, for law-abiding citizens to follow. You guys did just that. And I appreciate you being here joining me. I would love to have you back sometime. And if you guys are ever in the Dallas area, I would love to have you in studio and shake your hands. It would be an honor. This is Ryan Petty and Andrew Pollack. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sal.
Thank you. So, all right, we've got to take a quick break, and then I am going to bring in the panel when we return.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flare over it that I wouldn't be seated, so I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
Welcome to the program. My in-studio guests, we have Yaku Buyans, of course, Blaze TV contributor and founder of Yaku Buyans Ministries, which I encourage all of you guys to go check out and help how you can. He is, of course, fighting against sex trafficking. Quite a noble cause, if I do say so myself. Help jbm.org.
You're good.
Still got it, baby. Also, welcome to the program, Pat Gray, host of Pat Gray Unleashed, which you can find at blazetv.com.
Mm-hmm. You can.
I nailed that one.
You can.
That one.
You guys, the hostess with the mostest.
You didn't talk about ministries, though, but
that's true.
I'll let that go this time.
So I just want to, you know, we've got an election around the corner, it seems, and I feel like there are a lot of problems with the last election that in a lot of places we have not fixed yet. With, you know, the whole fortification, the whole, like, I don't know, stuffing ballots, stuffing mail-in drop boxes in the middle of the night. Like, I would consider that to be maybe a little bit of a problem. And I just want to remind everyone, so the 2020 election, Donald Trump was leading Pennsylvania by nearly 200,000 votes with 12% of the mail-in ballots counted. And then, just like in all of these other places, seemingly in the middle of the night, all of a sudden, Joe Biden got just the right amount more and ended up winning in Pennsylvania. Well, this actually went through the courts. And yesterday, the U.S. Third Circuit Court of Appeals reversed the order of a federal district court that had allowed mail-in ballots to be counted with either an incorrect date or no date at all under the voter's signature. This was a 2-1 vote from 3 appointed judges who are all Democrats. And the judges wrote in the opinion, to register and thus be authorized to vote, applicants must follow prescribed steps and meet certain requirements. It's like obtaining a license to drive. To cast a ballot that is valid and will be counted, all qualified voters must abide by certain requirements, just like those authorized to drive must obey the state's traffic laws like everyone else. Now, in the 2020 election, nearly 70 million mail-in ballots were received, and only 0.8% of them were rejected for issues such as that. And I just want to throw in here a tweet from Elon Musk, who reposted this as just all of these places that have banned mail-in voting. France banned mail-in voting in 1975 due to fraud. Mexico banned mail-in voting in 1992 due to fraud. Belgium banned mail-in voting in 2018 due to fraud. Sweden doesn't allow it. Italy, Ukraine, Russia, Japan. No Middle Eastern country allows it. No Latin country allows it. But somehow, here in the United States, we're supposed to be the leader of the free world here. And we're like, you know, let's just do this thing that's like rife with fraud when it comes to our voting system. What could possibly go wrong? And by the way, hold on. I'm glad this was a crucial. I just had to take a pause.
That's why we waited.
This was a crucial win for Pennsylvania, but it's just Pennsylvania. There are so many states left that are still, we have not done enough for election integrity for me to feel completely confident going into the elections in November. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, it's something they should have been dealing with since 2020, because we know there were some problems. I don't know how much, but if you've watched 2000 Mules, you know there was significant problems where things showed up in the middle of the night, where ballots were, the drop boxes were stuffed. Well, why haven't we gotten rid of all the drop boxes? That was only a thing in 2020 because of the pandemic. We don't need that anymore. You don't need to just drop off your ballot anymore. So do away with that. But now you're suppressing the vote if you want to get rid of the drop box. The mailing voting is similar because very few people need that. No, and you should show up at the polls to avoid the fraud issue. And then if you ask somebody for an ID, that's a racist thing somehow, even though 80% of blacks are in favor of voter ID.
Oh, they're too stupid to get an ID.
Yeah.
They don't understand it.
They don't know where the DMV is, or they don't have...
So racist.
The bridges are too low, Pat. They can't pass.
That's right.
The bus doesn't go under the bridge. This racist bus doesn't allow them to get to the pole.
Yes. Racist overpasses, racist
bridges. And they have some racist kidneys.
Yes.
Right. Remember, don't forget, structural, you can't vote with a racist kidney. Structurally racist kidney does not allow you to vote. You can't physically.
Not enough porta potties in line at the polling place.
Look, let's not forget the mindful, careful, and watchful eye and helpful hand of Mark Zuckerberg by helping the federal government with some Zucker boxes. Just a private citizen doing his job, putting a box near you, just making sure. You know, it's kind of like just we're here. I mean, we could go on and on forever. And it's allowed to happen. And yes, as Elon is writing, no other country would do it, as he's Xing or tweeting or whatever. We're doing it because it's a means to an end. And the end justifies the means. And for them, it's a beautiful mechanism to let people mail in. Hey, not just mail in, come drop it at a box. that only one of the biggest opponents of the constitutional republic, Mark Zuckerberg, would provide for you. It's his. Nothing can go wrong. His people will pick it up, promise you. You know? And so now I do want to shine a silver lining here. It is Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. It wasn't good. That is a victory. We are mm-hmm. seeing some victories on yeah. county level.
Yeah.
We're watching things turn. We're seeing precinct chairs actually start. We are chipping away here, but we better start chipping a little faster here because
right.
November's coming.
Right.
Yeah. And what was it? Was it Illinois that found out that in most of their counties in the state, they had more voters
mm-hmm.
registered than they had people?
Yeah.
It was more, Michigan. No, it was
well,
Michigan.
There's several of them.
They had more votes casted than residents.
Right. And because the RNC, they have already sued several different states for reasons like that, which is, mm-hmm. again, it's great. I mean, hey, that's why Ronna Romney McDaniel being the head of the RNC for so long was so detrimental to the cause, because this could have been done a year ago.
Yeah,
It's because Ronna was still in that position until last week that nothing was done.
Right.
And we do this every time. We ran. I mean, look, Trump ran on repealing and replacing Obamacare. And then the dog caught the bus and didn't know what to do with it. And we didn't have a plan as an RNC to replace it. It's like, oops, now what?
You know, it's funny that you mentioned, I know we got to go to break in a second. It's funny that you mentioned that, though, because we fall into their trap all the time. To the Obamacare point, we don't need to replace it.
No.
It was bad policy. It should have never happened. Just repeal it. We don't need a replacement, because that's all you get caught up with. So you get caught up in defending yourself from the left's language of they're going to take health care away from all the people will be dying in the streets. To your point, Pat, voter suppression. Mm-hmm. They want to suppress your vote. They're racist. They're evil. They want to make it harder for you to vote. No, it was just that you brought in this policy that you claimed was because of COVID, and COVID is over, and now you want to keep the policy that is leading to fraud, which is, of course, what we said when it was happening during COVID.
Right.
I remember, I wish I had the ability to like very easily search for shows where we said, if you think for 1 second they're going to take these away after COVID, you're crazy.
This is all
by design. Mm-hmm.
And we said it on so many things. If they could, this will stay forever.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
And that which they have been able to maintain, they maintained.
Right. Because
the mask, they went as long as they could, and the 6 feet of separation and distancing, but the other things are still there.
Right. Because when have you ever seen the left or the government take away power from themselves that they have given themselves?
Oh, never.
They don't do it. It doesn't happen. All right. We got to take a break, and we'll be back with more. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Patriot Mobile. So Patriot Mobile is, we all three of us have great relationships with Patriot Mobile because they are not only America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, but they are in the fight. Okay, so they're going to offer dependable nationwide coverage. They're going to give you the ability. You can access all three major networks, so you can pick whichever one you want, and you're going to get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. So what they're going to do is they're going to take a portion of your bill, and instead of, if you're with Big Mobile, they're taking a portion of your bill and they're donating it to like Planned Parenthood, to places that want to, organizations that want to take your gun rights away from you, organizations that you probably, if you're watching this program, are fighting against. What Patriot Mobile does is Patriot Mobile goes down to the border with this man right here and helps aid in the fight against sex trafficking.
That's right.
They're also flipping school boards across the country with a portion of your bill. So they are actually in it. Like, they are in the cause, in the fight, more than I think any other organization that I partner with. I mean, I'm at an event and they are always there championing conservatives, putting their money where their mouth is. I'm just encouraging you guys, please go to patriotmobile.com/Sarah. They've got plans for all sorts. They've got phones, they've got plans. You can keep your number, you can change it, whatever, but just go there, check them out. patriotmobile.com/Sarah. Get free activation when you use the offer code Sarah. So over at Vanderbilt, the students held an anti-Israel protest. They were protesting the university's refusal to participate in the Israeli divestment movement. And they called 911 because they were worried that they were going to get arrested. But there's a problem because one of them was worried about toxic shock from not changing her tampon, and this happens.
Toxic shock.
Yeah, there's a currently a female student who's being denied the right to change her tampon that has been in for multiple hours, which leads to an increased risk of toxic shock syndrome. So while you're saying...
I'm a female, I understand.
Right, so then you should understand... Okay, what you are not hearing, what you are not hearing is that if she stands up to use the restroom to change her tampon, they are threatening arrest. So it is not an option for her.
Ma'am, you have an emergency.
Yes, ma'am, I do.
That is an emergency.
No, do you have an emergency? Not your friend that's inside. Do you have an emergency?
That is my emergency.
I don't remember the time that I needed to have an emergency personally to call 911 for help.
What is she supposed to do?
I don't remember a time when it has to be a personal emergency for me to call 911 for help. I am requesting assistance, medical urgent assistance.
What I'm telling you. Okay, so you're telling me your friend in Kirkland needs an ambulance.
She needs...
Is that what you're telling me?
But hold on. But wait, there's more. What?
It's like a serious situation. I need to know there's someone here who's going to go into like toxic stuff.
And we will take care, but we're going to escort them out.
Okay, hold on. She leaves the building, and then what happens?
If we leave the building,
of course she's wearing a mask.
Let's go back to her room and get food. And that's all I can tell you right now, right? Get food.
I need to know what is going to happen when she leaves the building.
She's not going to be arrested if she leaves the building.
Okay, 100%.
Right. So we will not be arrested as soon as we leave the building.
No, you're not going to be arrested as soon as you leave the building, right? If you want to go back and get...
Does she care about the toxic shock or not?
I knew I would tell you. I don't know.
Okay, who the hell can we call?
By this time, the shock has come and gone, and there's a second shock and a third shock.
All I know is, if we have somebody that's a medical situation, let's get them the medical attention they need. Let's get her to her room, right? And I'm telling you, when you go out the room, you're not going to be arrested for leaving the building.
It's not about medical attention.
You have verified nothing for her. All you sent is a letter. She's not arrested. If she goes to her room, she is arrested.
That's not what I said.
You said she cannot stay in her room. You didn't say she could stay in her room, though.
These kids are going to Vanderbilt paying $85,000 a year to get a bunch of entitled brats worried that their friend is going to get toxic shock from not changing her tampon when she could just get up and leave.
There's a part of me in a weird way that's enjoying this because all y'all that empower Gen Z to the hilt and told them that they could run this country. And all you churches that empower Gen Z to run all your programs because Gen Z, we got to placate to Gen Z. Maybe now you'll wake up and say, hey, maybe bring the baby boomers back to steady the ship and tell Gen Z to shut up, sit down, watch, put a red shirt on the bench and listen.
I'm sorry, it all started with the participation trophy, didn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, they're getting a trophy just for participating in the sit-in. And I guess the trophy is that you get to change your tampons on a regular basis. What, every 15 minutes or so to avoid the toxic shock?
Happens every 45 seconds in America.
Unbelievable. How embarrassing is that?
I know. Very embarrassing.
Their parents, they should be home in their parents' basement because they can't handle the world.
They definitely should. And which, by the way, I believe that 7 students were suspended. I believe that we call that FAFO. I'm just saying that because I have 2 wholesome guys in front of me, so I can't say what that actually stands for. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. I just still really want to know what they wanted the 911 dispatcher to do.
Send police.
Do what?
To help bring Tampax. Change a particular item.
Yeah.
You don't.
Bring a box of Tampax.
It was going to be
a surgical procedure, Sarah.
It's like, no.
Oh, man.
Do you not know how this works? What she should have done is she should have asked any of the Vanderbilt boys, the frou-frou boys, to help her. Because apparently they wear them, too.
You can find those in the women's and the men's restroom now.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.